This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong to Allah the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His help and aid and ask Him to forgive us and protect us from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. We are now in the months of Hajj, and we are approaching the performance of this great worship that Allah Azza wa Jal loved, and He loved so much that He had made an obligation on every Muslim and a pillar in Islam. And the fact that Allah had made it a pillar only tells you of its importance and how much Allah loves it. And if it's important and if it is so beloved to Allah, the Almighty, the Most Merciful, the Most Wise, then it means that there are a lot of incredible lessons in it. And whether you are a person who's soon going to be on that blessed journey by the will of Allah to perform that incredible worship, or you are a person who's going to stay behind, we need both of us to contemplate the lessons of Hajj, the benefits of Hajj, before it even starts, before you board that plane to go towards that worship, or before the days of Dhul Hijjah start, you need to think about, why does Allah love it so much? What does Allah want me to learn from it? How can I be ready for it? Like we do with Salah, like we do with Ramadan, like we do with anything that Allah loves. You cannot take advantage of it if you are not ready for it. And Hajj, subhanAllah, and each pillar of Islam is unique. It's unique. And Hajj is unique. Hajj is unique in the fact that that's the only worship where you have to travel. Only pillar where you have to travel. It's unique in fact that it combines both worship in body and wealth. No other pillar has that. So what we find, subhanAllah, is that as we approach, we got to think about why is it that Allah loves us so much. And I'm going to talk, inshallah, today about three lessons, three benefits. One about equality, one about our trip to the hereafter, and the third about taqwa. And that does not conclude or cover all the lessons of Hajj, by no means. But that is a beginning. Equality. One of the things that you see in Hajj, immediately that you see in Hajj, and it's there in other types of worship, but you immediately see it in Hajj, is that Allah Azza wa Jal does what when you're going to perform it? What does He take away? What does He strip us of? All the trappings of the dunya, all of its decorations, all of those frivolous things that we gather and are distracting, Allah Azza wa Jal strips us from all of these things. And we all dress modestly, alike. And we all engage in the similar types of worship. Even if you are on a luxurious trip to Hajj, you still have to engage in the same type of worship, in the same place, in the same type as other Muslims, whether they are rich, richer or poorer than you. So when you look at all the pilgrims, all the Hajjaj, they look alike, they move alike, they worship alike. And Allah Azza wa Jal wants to teach us all an important lesson, that when it comes to our basic humanity, as humans, flesh and bones, blood, all of us are equal before Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are no distinctions between us except one. And that distinction is not, by the way, one that is apparent and outward. It has signs, outward signs. But essentially, it lives on the inside, which is the distinction of taqwa. And that is something that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized where? Of all places, during Hajj, when he gave the khutbah, and he said to people, he said, "Inna rabbakum wahid wa abakum wahid." He says, your Rabb is one, and your father is one. That is Adam, alayhi salam. So he said, your Rabb is one and your father is one. لا فضل عربي على أعجمي ولا أحمر على أسود ولا أسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى. So an Arab has no favor. An Arab has no favor upon a non-Arab. And a person of a particular color or lineage or ethnicity has no favor upon another of different color, lineage or ethnicity. The only distinction is that of taqwa. That's the equality that Islam teaches. It's an absolute truth in Islam. You find it in the Quran. You find it in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You find it in our practice. Once in an authentic hadith, it says, انتسب رجلان على عهد موسى عليه السلام. It's authentic hadith. It says, two people at the time of Musa عليه السلام traced their lineage. So one of them said, أنا فلان ابن فلان ابن فلان وعد. It says, I'm so and so, son of so and so, son of so and so. فمن أنت لا أم لك. So who are you? Putting the other person down. Who are you? Harshly speaking to him. The other person said, أَنَا فُلَانٌ إِبْنُ فُلَانٍ إِبْنُ الْإِسْلَامِ. He says, I am so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of Islam. So this is as far as he went. That's at the time of Musa alayhi salam. So Allah revealed to Musa. He says, قل الأول. He says, tell the first person. الذي عد تسعة آباء في النار. The one who counted 9 ancestors, all of them are in hellfire. فأنت عاشرهم. He says, the one who counted 9 forefathers who are in hellfire, you are their 10th. Where? In hellfire. وَقُلْ لِلَّذِي انْتَسَبَ وَعَدَّ اثْنَيْنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And say to the other person who counted 2 that are in Jannah, because he said, I am so-and-so, son of Islam. He didn't go any further. So-and-so who was a believer and he stopped. And he says, son of Islam. He says, فَأَنْتَ ثَالِثُهُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. You are the 3rd in Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something similar to it in another hadith. Either you're going to stop boasting about people who are in Jahannam, or you will follow them. We understand this lesson. We should understand this lesson, at least in theory. But subhanAllah, you find us as Muslims still trapped in our human-made tribes. Nationalism can and is a tribe when it turns you against another believer. When you think and you look at Muslims today globally who hate another Muslim because he does not belong to their country, fight another Muslim because of that, put him down because of that, denigrate him because of that. Even within the same country, they denigrate and put down another Muslim because he belongs to a different region or a different tribe, or a different neighborhood, or a different color, or speaks a different accent. That is a mental trap. That is a designation of the shaitan. This is a jahiliyyah. And a person who is living like that, he's living a jahiliyyah. And if he dies like that, or because of it, he's dying because of jahiliyyah. And in jahiliyyah, is not dying in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the way that Allah Azza wa Jal loved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, there is no tribal identification except Islam. There is no identity that matters except Islam. We hear this, but we ignore it. Because once we leave the masjid, or when Hajj is over, or when we're outside, we start treating people according to different criteria than the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. He didn't tell you because of his color, because of his accent, he's your brother and the other person is not. He didn't tell you because he belongs to the same tribe, he's your brother and the other person is not. He didn't tell you, and subhanAllah, you wonder about the next and newer generation. They seem to escape a tribal affiliation, but then they create different types of tribes. And they base their allegiance on that tribe. He's my brother. Why? Because he has taqwa. You're not choosing him because of that. He's my brother and the other person. Why? Because he's more obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. No. You're not choosing him because of Allah. You're choosing him because of the dunya. You favor him because of the dunya. And that is not the equality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advocated. Everyone is equal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave each Muslim a badge. Al-Muslimu Akhul Muslim. You are his brother. Meaning both of you have the same identification card. Nothing else is on it. Nothing else is on it. Just says Muslim on it. And you have the same card. And he says both of you are brother. Nothing else should be written on it. لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. You do not wrong him. Because he's your brother. She's your sister. You do not wrong them. وَلَا يَحْقِرُ. You do not put them down. You do not look down at them. وَلَا يَخْذُلُ. You do not give them up. You do not abandon them. That is your brother. And that is your sister. And that is one of the lessons of Hajj that we need to learn. Whether we're going and we're going to observe this, or we're staying behind and we're tuning in and we're watching all the Hujjaj. And when you're watching all of this, you have to say to yourself, hear Allah Azza wa Jal when I'm there. It's taking all the clothes that I have, the expensive things that I've been wearing, He took that and gave me the simplest thing to wear. He took away all the wealth that I have and told me, you cannot put this on and you cannot put this on, and you have to look the simplest that you can. In fact, the shabbiest that you can. And you're going to be worshipping next to the poorest person. What does he want from me, subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does he want me to learn? That when I come back, I forget about all of these lessons and I go back to my jahiliyyah. You want to live in your jahiliyyah? Live in your jahiliyyah. But you want to learn the lessons of Allah Azza wa Jal? Then learn the lessons of Allah. Your allegiance, your affiliation, the ones that you love, the ones that you stay away from, are those that are pleasing to Allah or non-pleasing to Allah? That's your criteria. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. Nothing else counts. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We said that one of the things that distinguish Hajj is that it's a journey. And we take trips all the time, short trips and long trips. And when Hajj comes, it symbolizes the trip that is our life. The trip, that journey that we are taking, all of us, without exception, to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Hajj becomes like that signal, that sign, that light that comes up and says, wake up, because you're on that journey and you forgot about it. Because you're a traveler and you forgot about it. Because you're a transient sojourner and you forgot about it. And now Hajj comes to tell you, yes, remember your journey to Allah Azza wa Jal through your journey through Hajj. Remember that as you now getting ready for it, or if you have performed Hajj before, go back to the time that you performed it. Or you have an intention of doing it, not this year, but in the upcoming years, inshallah. Imagine getting ready for Hajj. Packing your bags. Taking the clothes that you need to take. Saying goodbye to your family. Getting your papers ready. Only the differences between this travel to Hajj and that ultimate travel is that you get to decide when to go now. You get to buy the ticket. You get to pack your bags. You get to say goodbye. Now, you don't get to do all of that or any of that when death comes. So Allah Azza wa Jal now, when He's taking you on that journey and He says, leave your hometown, leave your country, leave your family behind, leave your wealth and children and all of this. Allah is telling you, you're leaving all of this sooner or later. Get to experience all of that before the actual thing happens. Get to feel what it feels like to leave things for Allah Azza wa Jal. Feel like what it feels like to abandon wealth and the trappings of this dunya. To abandon the riches of this dunya. To live a simple life next to other Muslims. Feel, experience what it feels like to stand with the multitudes, with millions upon millions of Muslims. All of you asking Allah Azza wa Jal for one thing. Asking Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you and save you from hellfire. That's the request. You may go to Hajj for commerce and business. You may go to Hajj to see the sights. You may go to Hajj for any other worldly reason. But your primary reason for going to Hajj is that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the Hajj that is mabrur, that is accepted, that is pious, has no reward except Jannah for it. That a person who performs Hajj and is accepted from them, the angel of Allah Azza wa Jal will put their hand on them and will say, استقبل ما شئت من العمل فقد غفر ما تأخر أو ما سبق. He says, do. Continue your work, because what has happened before, all is forgiven. That is, this is an assurance, a declaration from an angel of Allah. If you go to Hajj the way that Allah wants it, with patience, with manners, with akhlaq, with taqwa, with dua, etc., 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 and you're doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal, you're coming back with none of your sins. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from anyone who is going to Hajj. It's not just an obligation I want to do and be done with. It is my soul, it is my existence, it is my hereafter that is at stake. Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to save it. Allah Azza wa Jal wants you also to be ready for it before the time comes. So this journey is that ultimate journey that you're taking, and all of us are taking it. The only difference is between those who know that they are on that journey and they don't collect for this dunya as if they're living in it forever. They collect for this dunya because they can give it to their akhirah. Those who are the successful ones. And the last thing I want to say, the lesson of taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He is talking about Hajj in the Quran, He says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Seek provisions on that trip. Seek, take provisions. And indeed, the best of provision is taqwa. There are a couple of lessons here. Actually more. One of them is that the reason why this ayah was revealed was that there are some people from Yemen who would go on a trip to Hajj, and they would take no provisions with them, thinking or claiming that we were relying, or we have tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't need to carry any food with that. We don't need to carry any water for us. Allah will provide. Allah comes down or reveals in the Quran saying that type of thinking is wrong. I did not create this dunya that way. If you want anyone to provide for you, the best of people to provide for you after Allah Azza wa Jal who gives you is you. So tazawwad. You take food, don't depend on other people. You take your water, don't depend on other people. And here Allah is teaching a lesson very early in Islam, that there is no difference between or contradiction between tawakkul wal akhdh bil asbab. Meaning that you do what you need to do when it comes to this dunya, your heart is attached to Allah and you have tawakkul on Him. But also you do your part when it comes to this dunya. I cannot say, and that Hajj teaches this, I can't say, I'll worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone and the sky will rain gold and silver. It will not do that. But I will work, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said an example, and as the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said an example, I will work and I will worship Allah and I will provide for myself, take care of my needs, and I also will have tawakkul on Allah Azza wa Jal. But also there's another lesson, that the best of provision that you can take with you on any trip, the smaller trip of this dunya and the greater trip of the akhirah, is taqwa. So that, think about it, any project, any actual trip, anything that you want to do, get ready for it, plan, practice, do whatever you want. Take care of all the worldly things and means that will help you succeed. But yet Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying you need to add one incredible element to it. One necessary element to it. And what is that element? That's the element of taqwa. Because that is the best provision. What is a provision? Something that provides, something that supports, and something that sustains. So Allah is saying, you want my support and my sustenance? Accompany, bring taqwa as your companion on any trip, on any project that you have, and you will have Allah's support. And then on that trip of Hajj, you need to pay attention to taqwa. So stay away from what angers Allah Azza wa Jal, big and small. And obey Allah Azza wa Jal and what He loves, big and small. And that is the best provision that you have. And on that journey to the akhirah, better than wealth, better than children. I'm not saying don't have wealth and don't have children, by the way. But better than wealth, and better than children, and better than anything else, your best support is taqwa. The thing that will stay with you is taqwa. The thing that will walk with you to the grave and be with you in the grave is taqwa. The thing that will rise with you when you are resurrected is your taqwa. The thing that will take you to Jannah is your taqwa. And the people who are inside their grave when they're wishing to come back to the dunya, they don't wish to come back to the dunya because they did not collect enough money. Or they did not collect enough praise. Or did not build enough houses. Or did not have as many children. Or did not purchase as many cars. They're not thinking about any of this. The only thing that they want when they are in their grave, Ya Allah, take us back so that we can obey you. So that we can praise you. So that we can say Subhanallah. Because they found out inside their grave. Because Allah did not ask them about how much you made. And how successful you were. He does not care about any of that. You can still be successful. Nothing wrong with that if it's for Allah Azza wa Jalla or does not take you away from Him. But Allah only is asking you about His taqwa. So the best zad, the best support is taqwa. So as you are approaching this Hajj, as you are worshipping Allah in it, or as you are observing people who are doing it, remember that you need taqwa in it. You need taqwa before it to get ready for it. And you need taqwa after it. So ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, the most merciful, to bless us in these months of Hajj. Ya Allah, if we are of those who will be on that journey, make us of those who are ready for it. Get us ready, Ya Allah, by increasing our iman, by increasing our taqwa. And help us, Ya Allah, and accept from us our ibadah. And Ya Allah, if we are of the people who will be staying behind, Ya Allah, let us of those who make us of those who take advantage of those days and are forgiven in those days and are accepted in those days, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen, of those who learn the lessons of Hajj before and during and after. Ya Allah, fix the troubles of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take them back to your religion, take them back to the Quran and to the enlightened sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make them brothers and sisters for your sake, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to forgive all of our sins, the sins that we know about and the sins that we do not know about. We ask you, Ya Allah, if we are doing something wrong that upsets you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, that you grant us the strength to stay away from it, to grant us a true sincere repentance so that we will never go back to it. Ya Allah, if we love something that you hate, Ya Allah, we ask you that you plant in our hearts hatred for that thing, so we never go back to it, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And if there's something that we need to do that you love and we're not doing it, we ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make it easy for us and to plant in our hearts love for that thing, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make us of those who remember you often and seek your forgiveness often and you read your book often, and make us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, of those who follow your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make him our model and our example for us and our spouses and our children, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We ask you that you bless us and preserve us with Islam, and preserve our spouses and preserve our children and preserve our community and preserve of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقرب إلى حبك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. وأقم الصلاة.
اللهم